Hi, it's Karen Webster for Payments.com, and I'm here today with Thomas Leekar, Vice President of Strategy and Business Development for Hyperwallet. Thomas, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Karen, for having me.
So we're here to continue our series of conversations with the folks at Hyperwallet about what makes a great on-demand marketplace great. And we've had some really interesting conversations about the first four or so traits. And so now I thought I'd turn to you, Thomas, to get your perspective on a couple that are also quite important. So let's start with the first one, which we hinted at in the past, but you really have called out as essential, and that is give these gig workers, these on-demand workers, the choice of how they'd like to be paid. Sounds like a logical thing to do, but why do you think that makes a great on-demand marketplace?
Well, I think giving your freelancers or giggers the flexibility of choosing when, how, and where they get paid is really, really important. And I think the wrong assumptions that people usually have about these giggers is they think that they're like any other employees, that they're getting paid to the same bank account, they are fine getting paid every 2 weeks. But if you look at that population, it's more like a vendor, right? So they almost operate as a small business, and they have to manage their cash flow to cover everyday business expenses. So I think it's wrong to assume that they're fine getting paid as any other employee and they have a stable cash flow, because the cash flow is not stable at all. And the other assumption that we often make is that they actually don't mind, or they prefer to be paid to a bank account. If you look at the U.S. population, almost 30% of the U.S. population is today unbanked or underbanked, which means that they don't have a bank account or debit card where they can receive that payment. So that's a big challenge for some of these marketplaces. And one easy thing that I always advise my clients to do is if you have a sign-up page where you're asking for a bank account information for the gigger, simply measure what is the attrition rate that you're seeing on that page. And I would not be surprised if it's anywhere close to 30 or 40%, because people simply drop out when you ask them for a bank account info.
Interesting. You know, I think the other part of choice is sometimes these marketplaces provide a payout option that they think is convenient. Maybe it's not a bank account, maybe it's another kind of instrument, but it isn't convenient because it isn't necessarily a form factor that these on-demand workers are interested in having as an addition to what they already have to manage their financial resources. So I agree with the choice. It should be driven by what the worker wants, not by what's convenient for the marketplace.
Right, and I would add to that, I mean, the world itself is not uniform, right? So, I mean, we often look at it from the U.S. perspective, where, I mean, bank accounts are still the prevalent form where people want to receive money. Debit cards or prepaid debit cards are interesting too. But then you suddenly start looking at Asia, and what we're seeing is people actually like mobile wallets. Or you look at Africa and people like cash pickups. Europeans have a strong preference for bank accounts. So it's almost different country by country, and just managing and understanding the complexity is hard.
So there's obvious complexity when you're dealing on a global scale, as you just hinted at. But let me ask a question that may be related but a little different. There's also the expectation of when payment happens, right? So mm-hmm. if I'm in a marketplace, I've delivered service, I don't want to wait 2 weeks to get paid. I'd like to be able to get paid pretty quickly. So how does that factor into the equation when you're thinking about choice, not just a form factor but of timing?
I think that's the right question, and we typically see that there is a difference by the type of marketplace. So when you're in the e-commerce space, where you know you have sellers who either deal domestically or cross-border with the large marketplace platform like Amazon Marketplaces, they're fine waiting a few days, and they probably prefer a bank transfer because they're run more as a small business. when you look at individuals and freelancers and you know, people who drive for Uber or Lyft, they actually really care about real time, because for them to make the next ride, oftentimes it means that they have to go to a gas station and buy more gas, and they're not able to wait 3 or 5 or 12 days before the payment hits their bank account. Or similarly, if you have an issue on your car, you will probably need that emergency cash very quickly. So I think they sort of manage that their savings on almost day-to-day basis, and they want to have that assurance that if they need the money, they will have it.
Right. What are the challenges that these marketplaces face when they're trying to manage the timing of the payout with also providing choice, and maybe that happens to be doing business on a global scale? What's involved there?
I mean, I think it's just becoming a very complex ecosystem to manage, right? So when you think about this notion of giving choice, it's not easy, because you have to build and maintain an ecosystem of bank and non-bank partners almost country by country, and that will cost you time and money, and you'll probably have to build treasury department that just manages these relationships. And for each of these providers that you integrate, you will have to collect and verify different financial data. They will most likely come in different formats. You constantly have to communicate with them to keep the rails open, and you typically have to commit to some minimum volumes, which will cost you some resources. So, I mean, when we look at these marketplaces, there are very, very few that have sufficient scale to actually justify building this in-house. And they quickly find out, because they open bank accounts in 4, 5, 6 countries, and then they realize that it's really hard and it's costing them a lot of resources. So then they come to us, and the value proposition we have for them is very simple. You just make one integration and you're immediately plugged into a huge financial network that can reach different payout types in 200 plus countries.
Yeah, no, it seems to make sense. It's probably not the core business of the marketplace, it's fair to say, to be managing the complexity of payouts on a global scale. So it makes sense to take that out of the organization, mm-hmm. to a provider that actually can do that. Is that kind of where you see directionally these marketplaces going, deciding this is just too much for me to imagine, so I don't really want it inside my organization anymore?
I think so, because, I mean, you can manage this when you're a small marketplace. So we typically see, you know, the first 1 or 2 years of that marketplace, they're fairly happy managing everything in-house and doing customer support in-house. But then it starts adding up, and you suddenly start running into new issues. I mean, you're exposed to new compliance, KYC issues that you haven't even thought about. And getting that expertise in the market and hiring the right people is not easy. So, I mean, I usually like to compare it with the situation or the same reason why card networks like Visa or MasterCard have a huge advantage on the card acceptance side. I mean, it's their service is not free, but you know, now probably no one would even consider building an in-house solution to replace them, because they do it at such scale where it just makes sense.
Well, and I think, as you point out, it's not just managing the payout, it's compliance, it's doing it in a safe and secure fashion. There's just an awful lot to it that I think people underestimate, but as you described, it sounds like they learn pretty quickly the complexity and say, "No thanks, I'll toss it over to you guys, Hyperwallet, and let it be your headache, not mine."
Right, and I think that's completely right. And I mean, you know, this space is still new and it's emerging, and we haven't even been dealing with these business models a few years ago. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I think there's going to be a whole ecosystem of companies that serve this marketplace segment and that focus on freelancers, because the challenges that we're seeing with this gigger freelancer community are completely different than from what similar companies were used to 10 years ago.
Yeah, no, it's true, and we'll certainly be defining the shape and scale of the global workforce as we move forward. Thomas, thanks very much for joining me today. It was a great conversation. Appreciate the insights. Thank you.